The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Did you know that Miss Manners has a Facebook page? And an X, formerly known as Twitter, account? Via these social media platforms and a website and a column still printed in several newspapers, the now 86-year-old etiquette expert continues to answer people's questions about what is and is not appropriate behavior. Honestly, a lot of it just seems like common sense. Last week, someone asked Miss Manners whether and how they should respond to a text that was obviously sent to them in error. Another person asked whether they were obligated to send a gift after receiving a graduation announcement from former neighbors they hadn't had any contact with for years. Yet another person inquired whether they should offer honest feedback to a waiter who asked how their meal was. Apparently, the husband, who was pro-feedback, had gotten in trouble with his anti-feedback wife about this. Google the word etiquette, and you get about 70 million results in less than a quarter second. Among those results, there's guidance about how to conduct yourself properly when corresponding by email, when traveling, when attending a wedding, or hiking a trail, or handling the American flag. The idea that there are appropriate ways to behave is not a new one. 4.5 millennia, that's 4,500 years ago, a high official under the Egyptian king at the time wrote a list of maxims. Tahutep was this official's name, and he addressed everything from table manners to how to behave in the king's court to how to avoid argumentative people. Good thing to know. Fast forward 2,500 years or so from the time of Tahutep to the time of Jesus, and no surprise, behavioral rules are still important. Rules about how to show hospitality, who has power and who doesn't, who is in and who is out, how to negotiate interactions with both friends and strangers. Rules about where and when people are seated around a dinner table, who invites whom, who touches whom, who talks to whom. In a number of our gospel readings from Luke over the past few months, as we've been making our way through the season after the Pentecost, we've learned that Jesus is being watched. We hear that again today. The religious authorities are scrutinizing Jesus' every move by this point in his ministry, trying to build a case against him. Infuriated by his healings on the Sabbath and his audacious claim that he forgives sins and sets people free. But this morning, we learn that just as Jesus is being watched closely, he's doing some watching too. He's been invited to a dinner party, and he sees the game playing out around him. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You have a certain pedigree, come from an important family, you get this seat at the table. You don't follow the rules about cleanliness and purity, you better stay out of my way. You were invited to my big dinner party, I'll be expecting an invitation to your place soon, because you owe me. Jesus sees all of it. Then he starts talking crazy talk. In a culture where honor and status are highly, highly valued, Jesus tells the people at the dinner party, and these would be important people if they have been invited to dine at the house of a leader of the Pharisees, he tells these important people to humble themselves. To humble themselves. And then Jesus piles on by instructing the host of the party that instead of inviting the beautiful people over, the people of honor and status who can repay his hospitality, he should be inviting all the wrong people, the people who are broken and unclean and messed up and unable to offer anything in return. Jesus is proclaiming a new etiquette here, how things are in the kingdom of God. Our human rules, our calculations, our ordering of relationships and hierarchies and debts, Jesus turns these upside down. The humble will be exalted. The hungry will be filled with good things. The people least worthy of the invitation are exactly the ones who should be invited to the party. And that includes us, you realize. Many times we read and hear this passage from Luke as instructions on how we are to be hosts, that we are to be generous and inclusive in our hospitality, that we, people of God, are supposed to welcome all to a place at the table. And that's absolutely true. Once again, this week, we were reminded in an act of terrible violence how alienated and disconnected people can become. So estranged from community, so estranged from their fellow human beings that they wound, murder defenseless, innocent children. But even as we lament that and acknowledge our call to welcome and embrace others, it's important to remember that we are also often the guests in Jesus' story. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, who cannot, will not ever be able to repay the invitation we have received from God. God calls to us. Come, all you who feel poor, who don't think you have much to offer, who wonder whether your faith is good enough. Come, all you who are crippled and lamed by doubt, by regret, by old wounds and new ones, by fear, by hopelessness. Come, you who can't see goodness in yourself, in the world, who are blind to God's presence. Come, for we are all invited. We all belong here together at the banquet. We all have a place of honor at the table, not because of anything we have done, not because we are being repaid for our faithfulness, our good works, not because we've earned it, but because there's somewhere else we have been invited first, and that's to the foot of the cross. Foot of the cross, where we poor, crippled, lame sinners gather together to look up at Jesus dying for us. On that cross, and in the empty tomb of Easter morning, God made us a promise. Though the calculus of humans will still exist in our world, hard work and diligent study will usually pay off. Our kindnesses will often be reciprocated. Our accomplishments will be recognized and rewarded. We will be held accountable for our mistakes. We will be responsible for the choices we make. In God's kingdom, and at this table right here, and at the great banquet we will celebrate one day with God's beloved children of every time and every place, those rules don't apply. God's rules apply. God's gracious rules of welcome and forgiveness and hospitality to all of us sinners and saints. All we gotta do is accept the invitation that comes to us in the waters of baptism, the invitation that says, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Come, accept your new life. Reach out to others with the good news of Jesus Christ. Take, eat and drink the holy gifts offered around that table.